name. So thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's all the announcements. I don't have to do that end thing.
You don't. I have to do it. And that's okay. Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
Oh, look at how cute. Thank you. Oh, over there, Matthew. I still see one waving in the wind. He's got his shades on. He has to make it by. Okay, there you go. Okay. All these things that I have to... If you guys didn't get stirred up after that video, I mean, that is really the heart of God right now. Well, it's always his heart, is to be givers, but there is, like, crazy giving that is coming your way. So I just want you to know that your heart is going to be prepared by God, and that you are going to become an outrageous giver, because it's in God's heart and you're going to catch the wave. So, and it's exciting. It's exciting, and it'll fulfill you. Okay, so this sermon is about Joseph, but it's entitled God Has a Dream. And this is part one. And so, you know, we all have dreams about succeeding. We all have dreams for success. It could be a certain work aspiration or monetary aspiration. How many of you want more finances? It could be relationship aspiration. But as you know, dreams often change. And so we change our major in school. When you go to school, you change your major. Sometimes more than one time, you change your workplace, you change your relationships at times, and our income, sometimes it ebbs and flows. I mean, that's the way it goes. But there's always one consistent thing, the key to success. You want to know what the key to success is? I thought so. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Amen? So our mindset is usually to go after things, but instead God keeps saying this to us over and over again, because we are in this time frame where it is imperative. We have to get our minds set on the fact that we are going to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then the things that we have desired are going to come to us. And so it is an upside down kingdom from the world's kingdom, but we seek him. We seek his, what he wants as the king, and then he brings it to us. So I want to challenge your thinking and keep challenging your thinking, and that everything is changing, and we're going to learn to love God and know God and act differently with him at a whole different level. And to do that, we have to understand God's bigger picture. And it always is this. God has a dream, and it includes you. You don't have a dream that you're trying to get God included on. God has a dream, and he wants to include you. And so, isn't that reverse of how we usually do it? And so, his people are his people. And God's dreams are big, and so they have purpose, and his dreams include you. But he knows exactly everything that needs to happen to make his dream come true. And he knows that how to put together all the working parts. There's so many different parts, and we're going to see that today. And it will always bring an impact for your life. You're going to benefit by it, but others are going to benefit by it too. And so if we could recognize that through every challenge and every high point and every low point that we face in our life, it all works together for what?
Good.
Our good. Okay, so it's just trusting him and loving him and following him. And then there's success that is already built on the inside of you. You were built for success. God has put his DNA in you. He didn't build you for failure. He didn't build you to be in chaos. He didn't build you to always be in want. He built you for success. But we have to surrender to him. And so we have to begin by, of course, having relationship with him and knowing his voice. That is the number one thing. That is why we major on knowing him in this church and hearing his voice, because if you can hear him, then you can know his character. God is always talking to us. It's just whether we are tuned in to listening. And so if we know what he's saying, we know that he is trustworthy. We know that he is faithful. We know that he is loving. We know that he is kind. We know that he is true to his word. And then because we know him and his character, we can have faith in him. Because we're always talking to him. And the more that we have these conversations with him, the more we build our relationship, the more we know he is trustworthy with our life. We can trust him. And then obedience to him becomes a lifestyle to us. It's not something that we have to do. It's something that we have partnered with him to do. Our life now belongs to him. And so that fulfills our heart's desire. So Joseph, and I'm talking about the Joseph of the whole Old Testament, which is Jacob's son. Most of us remember that he's the one that got the coat of many colors. You remember the story of the coat of many colors? And so that story always stuck out to me because, you know, I don't see God. I didn't think he showed favoritism. I still don't think God shows favoritism. But in this story, there is favoritism. And so, you know, the way I was raised is like me and my brother, we got equal portions of everything. I mean, there was no way one was getting more than the other. It had to be equal. And the same thing with me raising my kids. I mean, Tirsa and Eric, if they wanted a candy bar, they got, if we had to split it, they got equal shares. You know, whatever I spent on one for Christmas, I spent on the other one. Birthdays, the same thing. It had to be equal because, but there was a reason why God put this story in the Bible that is beyond our comprehension. And there was a reason why it appears that he was favored and he got this coat. So I think it was last week, everything kind of flows together, but when we were here and God was moving and Danielle was on the piano and we stayed till 3:00 in the afternoon, was that last week? Okay. So God just gave me this download about Joseph, and it was this, 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 and this, and it started with the coat of many colors. And this is what he said. He said it was actually a prophetic coat because it had a voice. The coat was given to Joseph by his father, but the coat itself was speaking the will of God over him. And he said all of the colors were depicting things that were going to happen in his life, and it was important that he had this coat wrapped around him because he could feel his father's love and because it was depicting what God had for him. Now, I know that we've all seen pictures of the coat and what it looked like, but I know it had to have the color red in it because I know that it would depict the blood of Jesus. I know it because it's futuristic, and the coat was encouraging us and telling us that if that is a part of what is covering us, we will always win. And so I believe blue was there because heaven was overseeing the whole thing. And I believe that gold was there because God was going to have to cause him to stay heavenly minded so prosperity could come into his life, because prosperity has a purpose. Say prosperity has a purpose. Yeah, and black had to be a part of it because of the blockades that he would have to overcome. Because for every dream that God has, Satan would like to blockade it from working in your life, except for he can't. But he can only work his blockades and keep them there if we give him permission to. Amen? So let's look at what Joseph's name means. It means to let him add. We already know he's going to increase then. To continue. To exceed. To increase more and more. To proceed further. To join. To give more, get more, and give more. Increase more and more. And so his very name speaks of prosperity. It speaks of wealth. It speaks of success. It speaks of what God's future is for Joseph. And so he is going to exceed, but you're going to see, and we're going to realize, that this is not always the fun part. So now he's one of 12 brothers, and he is the 11th son. And he's a shepherd, but he's a shepherd with a coat of many colors. And so every time he wore his coat, he knew he was different. Unfortunately, every night he wore his coat, his brothers knew he was different. And so Genesis 37. Now, Jacob, Israel, same person, loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that the father loved him more than all of his brothers, they hated him, and they could not speak peaceably to him. Sometimes, when it becomes obvious that God has a mantle upon you, Satan will bring jealousy. He will cause other people to recognize that you have something that they wish they had and they want it. And if you allow their jealousy to affect you, it can steal your mantle. But Joseph had a dream. And in this dream, he saw many things. But Joseph was about to make a big mistake that we can all learn from. When God gives you a dream, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're supposed to speak the dream out to everybody else. There's a timing for releasing the dream. And so, I mean, he's young. Joseph is about 17 at this time. And so he tells it to his brothers, and they hate him even more. And so he said, well, please hear this dream I have dreamed. So there were binding sheaves in the field, and my sheaf arose and it stood upright, and indeed your sheaf stood up all around me and bowed down to my sheaf. That would go over good in the family, right? Their little brother. And his brother said to him, so you're going to rule over us? You shall indeed have dominion over us. So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. And then he dreamed another dream. And he told it to his brothers. You'd think he'd learn from the first time, but he didn't. Look, I've dreamed another dream. And at this time, the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers. And his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come and bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him. But his father kept the matter in his mind. And the reason why his father kept it in his mind was because this was the dream of God for Joseph. So this wasn't a dream that Joseph made up. This wasn't a pizza dream. This was the dream of God. He didn't ask for it. He just got it. And so it was a dream that God was going to bring into reality because he knew the future and he had designed Joseph to rise and to prosper for purpose. Say the prospering is for purpose. So now his brothers are out and they're shepherding in another place. And his father sent him to go check on him. And so he goes to find him and they're in Dothan. And so when they see him coming, Genesis 37, 18, when they see him coming, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. Now, I don't know if you understand how Joseph must have felt. Now, rejection is one thing. But when your own family wants you to die, it's bad. It is quite another thing. And so not only do they want to kill him, they are conspiring in the moment against him of how they are going to do it. And so this is unthinkable to us. This is very unthinkable to us, isn't it? Okay, and so they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming, come and let us kill him now and cast him into a pit. And then we'll say, some wild beast has devoured him, and we shall see what becomes of his dreams. So now, this comparison and this jealousy has become rage, and it has produced murder in their hearts against their brother. And so when he came to them, they grabbed him and they took off his coat. Because Satan will try to strip you of the thing that God has dreamed for you. And so they took him of his tunic and they ripped it off of him and they threw him into the pit. And the pit was empty and there was no water and there was no food. And it gets worse because all of his brothers are there and he's crying out to them from the pit. And I'm sure he's begging them because he's down there in darkness. He doesn't have anything. And guess how much betrayal and rejection do you think he felt? When, yes, and they're all ignoring him. So it was a pit of suffering. And it got worse because while he's in there crying out to them, it says in 37:25, they sat down and ate a meal.
Wow.
Yeah. So here they are. They're eating and they're ignoring their brother's cries. Now, I know that Joseph had a dream. That's good. I know that Joseph had a coat. That was good too. But what good is a dream and a coat going to get you in the bottom of a well with your brothers plotting your death? But God would have the final say. And his mantle would continue to rest on Joseph. I want you to hear that. So one of the brothers, Reuben, said, well, you know, maybe we shouldn't actually kill him. And so he's like, I'll come back. I'll try to get him out of the pit. But in the meantime, they lifted up their eyes, and there was a company of these Ishmaelites coming, and they were coming from Gilead with their camels and spices and balm and myrrh, and they were on their way to carry him down to Egypt. And so Judah said to his brothers, hey, what profit is there? This is still not a nice guy. He's like, let's make some money in the deal. So instead of killing him, you know, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him. Let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Now, obviously their motives are not right. Obviously they are the depiction of what the enemy is trying to do even right now. Even right now, Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy. He has marked people. He has tried to bring death. He has tried to cover this world with hopelessness and with all kinds of things that says there is no way out. But what people need to know and what you need to know today is that God has a dream for your life, and he has a cloak that he's never going to remove from you, no matter what it looks like in the natural, no matter what it looks has been stripped from you. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you, and his plan will always be for victory.
Amen?
Amen? And so his brothers listened, and so the traitors, as they came by, the brothers pulled Joseph up, and they lifted him out of the pit, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. Does this remind you of anyone else who got sold for 30 pieces of silver? And so they took Joseph to Egypt, and so he was delivered from the pit, but he was sold and taken into a foreign land, which was not a friend of Israel. And so he's 17 when he got sold into Egypt. Can you imagine? I mean, who's 17 in our midst? I don't know. Micah? Adram? Okay. And so imagine that. Here they are, 17 years old, without anybody that he knows, in a place where he doesn't speak the language, in a place where his brothers have abandoned him and he knows that they wanted to kill him. And so, but Joseph, though he is missing all of the things that we would say we would need, we would want to give this person therapy. We'd be like, he's never going to make it out. But God has a cloak upon him, and God has a dream for Joseph, and God is watching over his dream. And he is going to make sure that his dream comes to pass for Joseph and through Joseph, because God's dreams are always bigger than we can imagine or think. And so, here he is. And so they had taken Joseph's tunic and they killed a kid of goats and they had dipped the tunic in blood, because when they were going to take it back to their father, they were going to tell him, this is your son's blood and he's dead. So they thought it was proof of Joseph's death, but what it was the blood that was proof of his life, because God was in charge of him. And so God would have the final say, and his mantle continued to rest on Joseph. So when he got taken down to Egypt, Potiphar, who was an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard, he bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. And it says in Genesis 39:2, the Lord was with Joseph. And guess what? He was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now, there's so much in that statement. Now, who is with Joseph? Why is Joseph then successful? Because God is with him. And he's in the house of his master, an Egyptian. See, this is where we disconnect. We think in our life that we have to be serving under a Christian. But what if God has promoted you in a business and it is not a Christian man, but it is somebody that is going to be affected by you, and you're about ready to flip their wig? You're about ready to make the difference in their world. What if God takes you out of where you think you want to be into a place where he needs you to be, because there's a whole bunch of people that are going to be affected by your life wherever he's going to take you? And so he goes into Potiphar's house, and Potiphar has a lot of authority. And so he becomes a successful man under Potiphar, because he came under Potiphar. Thank you. Glad somebody got it. Okay, verse 3. And the master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So now, the mantle that God has put on Joseph is a mantle of prosperity. He is going to have favor wherever he goes. But Joseph has to come under authority to be an authority, and he has to serve where he may or may not have chosen to serve. But he's still there, and he's still serving. And so everything that Joseph put his hand to, it just prospered. And so now this guy is getting the benefit of Joseph's mantle. He's like, okay, I get it. This guy, no matter what he does, it's helping me. And so he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. Now Joseph is in charge of this entire house. So it was from that time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had. And the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. And all he had left that he didn't have in Joseph's hand was what he ate. It actually says, except for the bread which he ate. He got to decide what he wanted for dinner, breakfast and lunch. He got to tell all of his, the rest of it, he's just like, la-ti-da, Let Joseph do it. Let Joseph, just ask Joseph. Joseph will take care of it. Joseph will take care of it. And so he had prosperity and everything. And because God had a dream and Joseph was a part of God's dream. Okay. So no circumstance, no betrayal, no device of the enemy can steal God's dream. And if you're partnering with God's dream, you win. So Joseph has a coat of favor. He has a coat of authority. He's on top again. Yes, he's on top again. And so he's in Potiphar's house about 11 years. So he's now about 28 years old. And at the end of verse 39, it says this. Add to all of this. Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Oh, how lovely. Now he's handsome. On top of being favored and successful. Okay? And so, you know trouble's coming. Genesis 39:7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. And she said, come lie with me. I'm just saying, this is a man. He's 27. He doesn't have a wife. She's probably kind of good looking. We read this and we go, oh, you know, that's okay. He's not going to do it. How do you know he wasn't tempted? But he refused. It doesn't matter if you're tempted. It matters if you refuse. Everybody in this world is going to be tempted. He refused and he said to his master's wife, hey, chickie-doo. Well, he actually said it this way. Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. He's like, your husband has trusted me with every single thing that he has to the point that he doesn't even know what he has anymore. He has trusted me with everything. And there's nobody greater in this house but me, besides him. And he said, so he hasn't kept anything from me, but you are his wife. I'm pretty sure Joseph had that righteous indignation that came up on the inside of him. And he said, what can I do? How can I do this wickedness and sin against God? Now, I want you to know something, that this is the attitude that we need to have today, that there is all kinds of temptations that Satan is trying to put out there because he sees the favor of God on your life. He sees the success that he has ready for you. He has a cloak of righteousness for you. He has a cloak of success for you. He has a cloak of prosperity for you. He has the cloak of righteousness for you. And the enemy is going to see it. And when he sees it, he is going to come. And he is not going to tempt you with something that you don't want. Otherwise, it's not tempting. You can try to put liver in front of me to get me to eat it because it's good for me, and I will not be tempted in any way. But if you put, I don't know, ice cream or steak, I mean, then I'm tempted. Or meatballs, I could go on. I like food, okay? So, but if it is something that God has said, don't touch it, then don't touch it. And one of the things he said is don't touch another person's wife. And so he said, how could I do it? And Joseph understood the bigger picture of God because he's a part of God's dream. And the bigger picture of God is that God doesn't want us to betray what he has given into our hands and give in to some kind of sin that is fleeting for a moment. And so Joseph has integrity with God and man, and he resisted the temptation. And so he's going to be fine, right? So everything's going to be good, right? No. But God is still dreaming. So a little bit of time goes on. She keeps trying to pursue him. But it happened about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were inside. And so this wife caught him by his garment, another coat. And she said, "Lie with me." But he left that garment in her hand, and he fled and he ran outside. And he's like, no matter what I have to give up, I am not giving into this. No matter what it cost me, I am not giving up the dream of God. I am not going to compromise my life, not for you, not for anyone else. And if it costs me another coat, another cloak, another piece of authority, another place of feeling like I've arrived. He didn't know what the cost was going to be, but he was willing to pay the cost because of his dedication to his God. And so it was that when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled, she called all the men of the house. She's so mad. She's like, this is what I want. So she lies, just like his brothers. See, he has brought to us a Hebrew. Oh, now you're mocking God's people. And she says, they brought him in to mock us. And he came in to me to lie with me. And I cried out with a loud voice. Yeah. Liar. And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out. And he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. The total opposite. Now you know that if Satan can't get you to do something wrong, he can still accuse you of doing something wrong. Am I right? Even to yourself. Okay. So she kept his garment with her until the master came home. And then she spoke to him with words like this. The Hebrew servant that you brought to us. Now she's accusing her husband. This is your fault. Okay. Does that remind you of Adam and Eve? Okay. And brought us in to mock me. So it has happened as I lifted up my voice and cried. He left his garment with me. And he fled outside. And so it was when the master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, your servant did to me after this manner, that what happened? Did he believe Joseph? No. It says his anger was aroused. Now, Joseph is in the midst of being falsely accused. Now, how many of you have ever been falsely accused? Wasn't that a good time? And so not only is his master, it says the next verse 20, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison. Can you imagine? He served him now all these years, 11 years. He must have known something of Joseph's character, but he believed his wife and drug him personally down to throw him in jail. And now here is Joseph. He's like, I'm up, I'm down, I'm up, I'm down. And so he's in prison. Nowhere do you ever see Joseph doubting God. Never does he accuse him. Never does he think he's being unjust. Because his justice lives on the inside of him because he's working with the dream of God. And so it doesn't matter what it looks like temporarily, because temporary is going to change. Okay, so his relationship is broken, but God is going to have the final say, and God's mantle is continued upon Joseph. So guess what happens? Joseph is in prison, and the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now, if you really know your God, and if you're really tested and tried, And if you really pass the tests of God, which we are all in right now, and if you haven't recognized that you are in a test that you need to pass, you need to wake up. That's why we keep saying, awake, 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 because unless you understand that God is working things together for your good and that there are things in your life that need to be tested and tried so that you can come out on top, you have to have the very fiber of your belief system tried right now. Joseph could have given up. He could have accused his brothers. He could have hated them back. He could have bellyached. He could have felt sorry for himself. He could have accused God. He could have not even gotten into Potiphar's house. But God had a dream, and the dream included Joseph. And so he kept making opportunities for him, and Joseph was going along with God's dream. And I believe it's because he had an experience. He had an experience when he had a dream. He knew that there was a future for him. He didn't know what it was for. He didn't know what it was going to look like. He didn't know how many lives it was going to affect. But one thing he knew, God was dreaming, and he was dreaming with God. And so that's where we have to be. God has a dream for you. He has a dream for us. He has a dream for this church. He has a dream for this nation. He has a dream for this world. And we better know that we are dreaming with him. Amen. Okay, so the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Because it doesn't matter if you're up or it doesn't matter if you're down. God will give you favor wherever you are if you stay in God's favor. And so the keeper of the prison, guess what? Committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. It's up to Joseph. Where is he? Back on top. He might be underneath, but he's back on top. He's in prison, but he's back on top. He's still ruling. He still has authority. He's still the decision maker. You know why? Because God has a dream, and he's including Joseph in it. So the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority. He sounds like Potiphar. Because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made him to prosper. Okay, Genesis 40. So now he's in prison, and he's getting to know the guys. I mean, he's in charge of all the prisoners. And one day, you know, the king, Pharaoh, is really, really mad. And he's really, really mad at his cupbearer, and he's really, really mad at his butler, and he throws him into prison. Okay, so he's angry with them, and so he put them in the custody of the captain of the guard. And of course, Joseph is there, and the captain of the guard said, Joseph, take care of them. And so he's in charge of them. So the butler and the baker, who were confined in prison, had a dream. Again, more dreams, okay? Both of them. And each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream had its own interpretation. And so Joseph came in to them in the morning, and he goes, what is up? You look sad. You look like you're out of sorts. So he's like, what is going on? And they said, well, we each had a dream, and we don't know how to interpret it. But you see, Joseph's gifts are making a way for him to fulfill the dream of God. And so they tell him the dreams, and Joseph said, do not interpretations belong to God? So let's hear it. And so the butler told his dream to Joseph, that a vine was before him, and it had three branches, and it looked like it was budded, and the blossoms started shooting forth, and its clusters brought forth these ripe grapes, and Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, and I pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And so Joseph said, well, here's the interpretation of that. The three branches represent 3 days. And in 3 days, Pharaoh is going to lift your head up and he's going to restore you to your place, and you will be put in Pharaoh's cup in his hand like you did before in the former manner when you were his butler. But remember, when it is well with you, please show kindness to me and make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For indeed, and now he's trying to relate to him, so he'll remember. Indeed, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and I have done nothing here that they should put me in a dungeon. Now, this should be the report of all Christians. I have done nothing to deserve what is happening if it is bad, because I didn't cause it. It's other people, or it's Satan coming against me, but I didn't deserve it. So remember me, because I too have been mistreated and thrown into this place. And so now the chief baker says, okay, I'm going to tell you my dream now. And now he's like, this is great. So he goes, there's three white baskets on my head, and in the utmost basket, there are all kinds of fresh goods for Pharaoh. But the birds came and they ate them out of the basket. And Joseph said, well, here's your interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. And within 3 days, Pharaoh is going to lift your head up off of you and hang it on a tree, and the birds are going to eat your flesh. Oh, thank you for that interpretation, right? So to me, it shows who was a just servant and who wasn't, okay, sowing seed and reaping from it. So it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all of his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker to his servants, and he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, just like Joseph said. But he hanged the chief baker, and as Joseph had interpreted to him. But the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Now, we have this thing that we do, that when we are helpful to someone else, we expect them to be helpful to us. Right? But sometimes we're forgotten. Sometimes we give and it is not returned. You know what that is? A test. It's another test. Because where does promotion come from? Promotion comes from the Lord. And so, if you're putting your promotion and you're not trusting God for it, this is why the world system is this. You do this, so they'll do this. And you jump over this person to get to the next level. And it doesn't really matter about that other person, because you're just climbing the ladder to the top. And so this is the system that the world has put in place. But God's system of the kingdom is that you keep your eyes focused on God, that you put your trust in him, that you are in such relationship with him that you know what is right to do, you know what is wrong to do, and your circumstances don't get to dictate how you feel or how you act, because you are putting your responses in the hands of God, and you're going to respond the way that God want you to respond. So you are not going to be like the world, because the world is going to go out and talk about that, or the world is going to get mad at God about that, or most Christians are going to do the same. But when God is perfecting his church, when he is getting his bride ready, when he is getting us to be his sound pieces, when our voice is about ready to be magnified, when he wants people to see the difference between the way Christians live their life and the way the world lives their life, when he is making a marked difference on purpose, it is always for the greater good. It is always for the effect that it's going to have on everybody else. Somebody say amen. So when the chief butler did not remember Joseph but forgot him, then Joseph is put to another test. So are you seeing the pattern here? Joseph has favor, but then he has jealousy against him, and then he's successful and trusted, and then he's falsely accused, and then Joseph is demoted, and then he's successful and he's trusted in prison, and then he uses his gifts, but then he is forgotten. But God's going to have the final say, and the mantle of God continued to rest upon Joseph, and God called him Joseph. He gave him his name, and he was supposed to increase. He was supposed to exceed. He was supposed to be strong. He was supposed to yield more. He was supposed to gather together. He was going to give more and get more and provide for others. And so much that God had entrusted into Joseph's integrity and his way of living. So I have 20 more pages that we will do next week, hopefully. Well, we don't know, but we think so. Because I believe this is a message for the church today. And so the question today for you is this. What was God really doing with Joseph? And what is God really doing with us right now as his bride? So what if God's dream for Joseph was this? To recognize that God's mantle was on him and to know when to release things and when to remain silent. What if God's dream for Joseph was to know that he was loved by his father and that was the greatest gift? Guess who your father is. What if God's dream for Joseph was to learn how to overcome betrayal? How do you overcome betrayal if you've never been betrayed? What if God's dream for Joseph was to learn how to come under authority and to be satisfied in whatever position he was in? What if God's dream for Joseph was to learn how to serve in multiple areas? What if God's dream was to learn how to resist temptation even if it appeared to be costly? What if God's dream for Joseph was how to love God through being falsely accused and sudden demotion again? What if God's dream for Joseph was how to stay in grace so that he could be raised up again? What if God's dream for Joseph was to always use his gift wherever he was? To always use his gift. What if God's dream for Joseph was to never complain? What if God's dream for Joseph was to never operate in self-pity? What if God's dream was to never be accused by Joseph? What if God's dream was for Joseph to never allow his hardship to change his giving to other people, no matter how they responded? What if God's dream for Joseph was that he would keep partnering with his dream? God has a dream and it includes you. We're going to have trials and tribulations in this world, and some of them we'll understand and some of them we will not. The Bible clearly says in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. But you won't be able to overcome if you don't know him. If you don't know his ways, if you don't have relationship, if you're not talking to him, if you don't know God's character, how you respond to whatever comes your way, to whatever blockades that Satan brings, to whatever darkness that there is around you, it matters. Your response and your attitude matters to God. And it matters to the impact that you're going to have on other people's lives. We used to say sloppy agape. That's an old word, but what it meant was sloppy Christians that just... we thought we knew it all and everybody should be like us, and And we acted weird, and we didn't act kind enough, and we weren't really caring as much for them as what we needed to. And here we are again. Here we are again with the world seemingly falling apart. And everything that we have put our confidence in, whether it's the government or whether it's money or whether it's somebody else, it's people are just, they're not staying true to what they said they would do or what they would be or how they would care for people. And so here we are. We're standing on this precipice of time. But God has a dream. And God's dream is that he has a church, that he has a people, that he has somebody that is willing to partner with him, that won't get into the mud and act like they act, but they will stand and they will know that the cloak that they have upon them is righteousness, that the cloak they have upon them is making the difference because God himself gave it to him, that what they are wearing is unsurpassable in any other way. There is nothing that the world has to offer that can surpass the way you feel when you know you are clothed in God's garments and that his dream for you is going to help you and benefit you, but it is for the benefit of other people. And as you give to other people and as you respond to God the way you're supposed to, then you get fulfilled because there is really nice stuff that happens when people give to you. But you know what's better than receiving? Giving. God is looking for those people. God is looking for us to dream his plans and to feel his cloak every time there is something that comes against us. We can feel like Joseph felt the cloak that his father made for us. We can feel the cloak that God, our father, has made for us. We can feel it encompassing around our shoulders and healing our hearts and making us not react, but instead of respond in the way that God would have us to respond to someone else, making the difference because they're watching you. The world is watching to see what the church will act like right now. You have to live your life to benefit others. Isn't this what God said? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then what? Love your neighbor as yourself. We're moving into this. This has always been God's commandment, by the way. This is not new. But we are in a season right now where we're being tested and tried. Where you may feel like you've been thrown into a pit. You may feel like you've been abandoned. You might feel like you've been betrayed. You might even be mad at God about something. I mean, maybe he didn't do what you thought he should do, the way you thought he should do it, in the timing you thought he should do it. And so, you know, and let me tell you, we never want to say we're mad at God. And yet, I know everybody's been mad at God at one place or another. Because we have expectations of him. And when he doesn't come through the way we think he should, we can get disappointed. We call it disappointed because it's a better word than being mad at God. You know what disappointed means? You're mad at God. But God's looking for that person who will not stay there. He's looking at the person who will feel his cloak upon them and know that his love surpasses anything else, that what we are called to do is be representatives of him on this earth. And so it's time for the gifts that he has put in you and 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 you to come out and to be utilized for somebody else's benefit, whether it benefits you or not. Whether it benefits you in the moment or not, whether it benefits what you desire or not, God is waiting for his people to recognize that he is not a slot machine. I mean, I don't know how better to say that, but You don't give to him, pull the arm, and expect something back. You give to him because you love him. You obey him because he deserves it. He gave his best gift to you. We don't deserve anything back, but he gave it all. And so all he's asking for us is to give our lives to him in such a way that it portrays him to other people, because his one thing he wants more than anything is people in heaven. How can we tell them about Jesus if we're not living for him? Where is the impact of that? When we just say that we're a Christian, what it actually means is Christ-like. Read about Jesus and portray him on the earth. That's what he wants. That's the good news. Sometimes to partner with God, we have to lay down our dream for his dream. Sometimes we have to lay down our timing for his timing. You know, there's always a bigger picture. God's always in the bigger picture business. I tell you this all the time. Because we have tunnel vision, and we mostly care about the vision that impacts us the most. We want to have a dream, and we want to realize that dream, and we want it now, and it's hard not to, because we live in this world and we live in flesh. Come on, let's be honest. We all feel this way. And so but if you know that there's a bigger picture, you'll realize that your life is a vapor. Only what you do for eternity is going to last, and it should motivate you to be in the bigger picture. You've got to ask yourself this, and I'm going to help you over the next coming weeks. I hope God will let me do this, but we need to realize what our gifts are, and we need to be using our gifts. What gift do you have in your hand today? What do you have in your voice? What do you have in your knowledge of God? What is it that he has given to you that somebody else needs? Sometimes it could be finances. Sometimes it's a gift that opens and cracks open hearts. And I am going to be like making sure that everybody knows that I am going to on purpose make this church a heart of outrageous giving by doing it myself first. Because something needs to crack open, because here's what happened during COVID. Everybody started. They're afraid to let go of their money. They're afraid to let go of their time. They're afraid to let go of X, Y, and Z. And something has to break the barrier. And we're going to break the barrier. Amen. Darkness is trying to come in. We're going to hold back the darkness. And we're going to do it by doing the opposite of what Satan's trying to get us to do. Satan wants us to be hoarders and to, well, we're not doing it. What is the gift that God has given you? Sometimes there's people that are exhorters. They just tell people, they exhort people all the time. They tell people the good things about them and what difference they make. Cindy Taylor is the cheerleader of the church. And so, I mean, I work with her. There is never a day that I come to work with Cindy that she doesn't compliment me somehow. You know, I look good, I sound good, I did something good, whatever. And you know, I don't depend on it, but I like it. Because how many of you need to know that somebody notices what you've done? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you're it. Maybe you're the exhorter. Maybe you're the cheerleader for somebody who has nobody else to cheerlead for them. I mean, what if you are just a person that needs to give gifts? I got a gift today. Actually, I got two gifts in the last couple weeks. And look, they sparkle. And so, well, somebody else went through their joy box and they said, it doesn't fit me right. If you like it, you can have it. Yes, thank you very much. If it sparkles, it's mine. And so, but jewelry does not have me. I have jewelry. And you know, I gave a bunch of jewelry away and I still give jewelry away. And guess what? That's why I get jewelry all the time. So give and receive, but not like a slot machine. Give that which costs you something. So it's time for us to understand that what God did for Joseph, he is doing for us. And there is more about Joseph that I'm going to teach you. But what if God is dreaming a dream about you? What if his dreams include you and that you get to pass a test right now? What if you're being challenged and tried so that you can be tough as nails when the enemy comes? What if you are the person that when something disastrous happens to someone around you, whether it's your friend, your loved one, or an unknown person yet, and they need somebody that will stand with strength and with integrity and with truth, and you're it? Can you do it? Because the only way to build muscles is to build muscles. The only way to win and to have God's favor and to keep his mantle in full purpose and activation is when we obey him with everything that we are and everything that we do and learn how to submit to him against the odds. And when we do, he's the one who gets the glory. I don't know, but I want what you have. Well, it's not what I have, it's who I have. He has his name, and his name is Jesus. And he rescued me from the pit, and he rescued me from darkness, and he rescued me from betrayal, and he rescued me from being falsely accused, and he rescued me from sins, and he gave me a future and a hope. And that's what he has for every person. And we are their answer. And so this is God's dream right now. I'm hooking to it. I don't know about you, but I'm hooking on. So if you'll bow your head right now, I'm going to walk you through this. So I know that this is a challenging word, but I know that it's a good word too. God is about ready to prosper you. God is going to bless you as you bless him. But what he wants is he wants your attention. He wants your affection. He wants relationship with you. He wants you to hear his voice. And so if you're here today and you haven't aligned your life with God's free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, or if you're watching online, then all it is a choice, a very deep rooted decision making choice that you are going to believe that God gave his son and that he took your sins, but you are also going to honor him by making him Lord and Savior over your life. Not just Savior. Savior is easy. We don't go to hell. Lord is honoring him in our life. Lord is deciding once and for all. And I believe there are Christians that have received salvation, but they haven't made Jesus Lord. They haven't given him the position of redemptive authority in their life, that they live their life for him instead of themselves. So to give him the proper place, we have to humble ourselves and recognize our neediness. But when we do, we find a father that has already made a coat of many colors for us. And when we cry out, Father, I need you. I need you, and I need your son in my heart. I need to live my life differently. You can feel him drop his cloak upon you with every color that you will need to overcome every temptation, to overcome every hardship, and do it with flying colors, because that is who he is. So you can join me in this prayer today, because I believe this is the time for the church to arise and for Satan's tactics to be destroyed by our willingness to just submit to God and his will. So, Father, we come to you. Say it after me. In Jesus' name, we thank you for salvation. I believe Jesus is your son, and that he died with my sin on his back, and you covered my sins by his shed blood. So thank you for that. And now I give back to you by choice. My ways for your ways, my heart for your heart, my dreams for your dreams. I want to serve you. I want to make you proud. And I want to be the difference that the world is looking for. So today, Lord, open doors that have been shut before, and open hearts